I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name is Jenny Hammer. Welcome to the Way Up North podcast. This is a podcast series where we get to know the people who are presenting at Way Up North in Rome of April 2017. So what you're about to listen to is a conversation I had with Nikki Boone. And this is a woman who lives on a farm in New Zealand with her four kids. And we spoke about their unique lifestyle and about her passion for photographing them. If you haven't seen her work yet, check it out as soon as possible because you will understand in about 3 seconds just how special this woman and this family is. This is a family who has managed to avoid many of the modern day traps. And well, I'm finding it hard to explain what I mean. So just listen to what she has to say and you will know what I mean. Oh, there we go.
Yay!
Can you see me?
Hi. Yeah, I can see you.
It's like daytime, your time. Oh.
Sorry. Honestly, it's so terrible. I just got onto the email and I was like, oh no, she means now. I thought it was 10 o'clock and then I was frantically trying to make this work and then I couldn't find the earphones and then there's two great big ginormous cockroaches crawling over the desk. So I'm calling my kids to get rid of the cockroaches.
Oh my God. Well, I was thinking, we did say 10 o'clock and by the way, I am recording this, although who knows if they'll cut it out or not, just so you know. No,
yeah, welcome to you. Don't want to know what's going on behind me.
I do want to know. We did say 10 your time, and then when we scheduled it, it was a good 12 hours. But we did our spring. I don't know. Maybe you guys don't change your clocks.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, ours is changing back this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. So of course, we're in that little pocket of time where we've changed our clocks back, so therefore the misunderstanding.
Yep.
I can give you some better light. So it looks like a monster. Well,
yeah,
Is it okay to chat now?
Yeah, are you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's late, but I'm used to staying up late.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's totally fine. So tell me about the cockroaches. Is that like common there where you are?
We live in a really big old house. And there are a lot of things in our roof, and occasionally they come through.
What else is up there?
Oh, we've got rats and we've got mice. The kids say, yeah, I think it's the rats that put me to sleep last night because they can hear them scream. I know. We live on a farm and we have a pond and there's water and, you know, it's just what happens when you live in a big old house on the farm. But the kids are so great. They love looking at the cockroaches. They think it's glorious and they're great big spiders and it's, yeah, it's awesome. We've got like this whole zoological thing going on just in our house.
Yeah, who needs pets when you have, but you maybe have those as well.
Yeah, we have those. Well, that's part of the reason for the bugs as well.
What do you have for the bugs?
Oh, the bugs, they come in with the animals because we've got animals around. And so, you know, right. Animals just feed off animals and yeah, so you get flies and yeah.
So you live on a huge farm or huge, I mean, on a farm.
Yeah. And well, it's not big at all. It's only 10 acres, so it's not really a farm. Yeah.
Okay. But I read something about you kind of wanting to give your children the same kind of upbringing that you had or the same kind of place. Is that what?
Yeah.
It's
difficult. It would never be the same place. I grew up on a very big farm. So, but what I did grow up with was just my memories are of just so much freedom. We just had freedom to run and have adventures and build tree huts. And, you know, we don't realize how lucky we were really. So it was just giving them that essence more than the farm, which we will never be able to afford to give them. But we have 10 acres that they have free reign over. And we live down the road from a river and we live a K away from the beach. And we're so lucky. We have everything just down the road from us. they can access the bush and the hills and the rivers. And the my son goes down and he gets on his bike and he bikes down to the river and catches some fish and comes back and have it for dinner, that type of stuff. So
that's awesome. That's really good. And how yeah. old are the kids now? So
they're getting old. My eldest is 13. Okay. Man, that's a whole other chapter in life. Yeah, so he's 13, and I've got a 12-year-old, and then a 9-year-old, and the youngest is 7. She's just turned 7.
And do you let the young ones too kind of run free, or how much? I mean, I feel like where I live now, we barely, like, the neighbors will like call if the kids are coming over to play, and it's like, you know, 20 meters away. Like, okay, they're coming. Can you make sure they're, you know, this like so controlled everything?
Oh yeah, no, no.
Sounds so wonderful.
Yeah, no, well, what the little ones have, they have reign over our place. So we've got 10 acres and we have some grapes and we have animals. And down the back of our property, we have a big pond where the kids can just play. They've got, they make their own boats and their rafts and whatever, and they play in the pond. So they've got free reign all down there. But we don't let them so much on the road on their own just yet to get down to the river.
Yeah.
Just the big ones. But yeah. But yeah, we're a little bit more relaxed than that. I mean, my big kids have just ducked. There's about 3 or 4 k's away that they've got a friend, so they've just ducked down to their friend's house. But we don't. Yeah, we don't call too much. They just go.
Yeah. I think that's really good. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it is good. Yeah, long may that last, I say.
So you have, like, obviously your days are pretty free as well. Your main activity is I was about to say shooting them, but that sounds horrible. Is to
there are days when that would be too much.
There are days, I'm sure. Yeah, we're like, but photographing them, and then what are your days like?
Yeah, that's a really hard one. I've been asked that before. It's quite hard to. Well, I mean, our days start very the same because with the kids all have their responsibilities and their jobs, so they've got to help with the animals and do their house jobs and tidy up and, you know, do the whatever a cat has, I guess. So, but they take them a little while by the time they milk the goats and get the eggs from the chickens and feed the chickens and all that sort of stuff. So that's generally how it starts. But from there on in, it varies. It depends what the weather's like. If it's summer, then we're off. We're off. We're either outside doing work or we're off down the beach or to the river or wherever it takes us, really. In the winter, we probably stick around home a little bit more. And yeah. They'll do a lot of reading and games and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's quite hard to say. We don't really have much of a routine.
But, I mean, are you on, like, a summer vacation now or no?
Oh, every day's a holiday for these guys because they don't go to school. So, yeah.
Oh, they don't? Okay. So is it, like, homeschool then?
Yeah, we're pretty relaxed with the schooling side of it, but they just learn, I guess. I guess that's right. I mean, we have a little bit of maths that we dip in out of, but other than that, they pretty much just read and learn from what they do, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. So what's your, I mean, how, oh, there's a hi. from straight across the globe. Oh, there's a little hand over there. That's so cute. That's so interesting. What tell me about that, your ideas on that. I'm super interested.
Yeah, well, it's been a bit of a journey for us. So our eldest went to, well, he turned 5 and we didn't think he was ready for school and we didn't really want him there. So we were lucky where we lived at that time. Have you heard of a Rudolf Steiner education or schooling system at all?
No,
so they're a little bit alternative. So they teach slightly different. They have a whole philosophy, but basically they don't start the kids into anything academic until the year they turn 7. Mm-hmm. And then it's largely arts sort of based learning. And we thought, oh, well, that'll be right. That's what we'll do with our eldest. And we just like that he wouldn't start school till he's 7. So he spent a year there and we pretty much fell in love with their philosophy. So the kids at these schools don't have any access to computers or any electronic devices at all. And they do a lot of focus of living with nature and from the land and a lot of arts. So it was great. I mean, we just totally fell in love with it. But then we moved away from the area and we figured, well, we can't send him into school because he's not up to scratch. He wasn't reading or doing anything like that. So we'll keep him at home and we'll get him up to scratch and then we'll send him to school. But we had taken on a lot of the philosophies here at home, and then it just kind of went from there. We just thought, well, we don't really want him at school. We love what he's doing at home. And
yeah,
so yeah, we just kept him home, and then we kept all the others home. We've just kept going like that.
So that's so interesting. So you have like no, or maybe you do, like they're supposed to be in school. Like here in Sweden, you have, by law, they're supposed to go to school, and I'm sure you can do alternative methods. I've just never thought about it. I mean, the alternative.
You guys are really liberal. I'm sure you could be doing this. You guys, yeah, and you've got an amazing education system over there.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's definitely not, it's definitely a lot less rigorous than I think if you compare to the U.S. I mean, my boys are seven and they don't know how to read yet. I mean, they're doing like a lot of learning by doing and playing. And I mean, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You guys are awesome with that stuff. Yeah. We swing a little bit more. We're a little bit more relaxed than a lot of countries, but they're swinging more and more towards the academics. And, you know, you have to, everybody has to be reading up to a certain level at age five or age six. And that's what we didn't.
Yeah.
We just didn't love that idea. We didn't think that they needed, I mean, our kids, none of them have really read before they were eight. And they all read like little reading things now. I mean, they just drink books. So we just didn't love the idea that they were pushed so early to be doing all these things.
Yeah, I do. I have heard a lot of things about certain places where they are reading at like four or three, or, you know, they're like playing the violin by three and they're taking all these classes. You're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. I know. Where's the childhood, right?
Where's the childhood in that? Yeah. And you're taking it to the other kind of extreme, to be honest.
Probably. Probably. But, but it's, I mean, they can all read and they see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So how do they learn to read then? I mean, what's your, is it like when they're curious enough they want to read, you kind of just help them a little bit?
Yeah So my 7-year-old at the moment, we're kind of dipping in and out of the sounds of letters and, you know, the basics of what you do when you read, but we're not putting too much pressure on it. I've just learned from the others that all of a sudden if you give them those basics, they just run with it.
They just do I'm noticing too with my 7-year-olds that they,
you got twins,
yeah, seven, and they're like I said, they're not reading yet, but they're starting to kind of crack the code, and their own interest is everything needed to kind of get the job, I mean, to get them interested in reading. It's all about when they feel motivated to actually read something. Then they can learn more in one evening where you have time to sit down and really, when they're in that space, than before when, you know, you were trying to get them to learn sounds or play games. You know, it's just not, it's all about motivation.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And that's our theory too, is that we've found that you can spend like, well, I don't know, 2 years teaching them when they're four, what they can learn in only so many weeks when they're eight.
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem to be any difference, you know, when they learn, as long as they've learned and they've got that skill at some stage, then. Right. Yeah.
So what do you do when you need like alone time?
There's not a lot of that. That's called 3 o'clock in the morning, which I've learned to love that time of the day.
I bet you're just like, wow, it's so peaceful.
I love it. I seriously love it. Like, I'm a mad thing, you know, up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and it's just so peaceful, and and I can play some music and I can listen to the whole song without getting interrupted.
Yeah, so you do stay up like way late to just get that.
Yeah, not all the time, but it happens. Yeah.
And tell me about your work too. I mean, or your photography. I mean, is it like, I noticed, by the way, I thought I'd mention this before I forget, that we have a friend in common on Facebook who is not part of the Way Up North community. Harvey Stein.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Harvey?
Yeah.
Because I know Harvey from
Facebook. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I only know him through Facebook. I don't know him in person. But
okay, you don't know him in person. Because I know him in person, and I thought, oh my, what a weird connection that you know, when you see, like, you have that one friend that's not.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. Okay. No, I just like his work, so yeah.
Yeah, and that's true, that your work does, I mean, there are some similarities in the way you guys shoot, which is really cool.
Yeah.
What do you do with your work, and what does that look like?
How do I work?
How do you, like, are you, like, constantly holding a camera? Do you go weeks without taking a photo, or do you shoot every day? And what do you do with your photos?
I guess I kind of shoot the way I live, actually. It's a little bit random, a little bit sporadic. So the camera lives, like, on a bookshelf, pretty much. So it's there. And I guess it's just if I see something that is interesting to me, then I'll grab it. And then I'll just sit with the kids and just be there, you know, with the camera, with them. And I do a lot of waiting and just being there and just, you know, recording it if it's interesting. But, yeah, there's a lot of not interesting things that happen in our day where I don't use the camera at all. But and if we go somewhere, if we go somewhere, then the camera is always with me. It's always there. It comes as part of it. But other than that,
It feels like your images are so, like, the composition in all of them is so key. I'm curious, like, I would love to see what you look like when you're kind of shooting. If you're, like, crouched on the floor, if you're crawling, if you're still, if you're moving around.
Yeah, it's a little bit all of the above. I guess a lot of it is just seeing something interesting and then just finding the way that I want to shoot it, and then just hanging out in that spot and just waiting, just shooting and waiting and shooting. And, you know, occasionally I'll be like, oh, maybe I should see what's going on over there. But, you know, if they're just in one spot doing something crazy or doing something weird, which is quite often the case, then I'll just sit in the one spot and just wait for them to get weirder, which often happens too.
And then do you feel like, okay, wow, I really nailed that shot, when everything kind of falls into place and they, you know, they're all kind of aligned in a cool way? Do you feel it, like, in your gut, like, oh my god, I think I just...
Sometimes I'm like, oh well, we'll see, and then you get it back and you have a look and you're like, oh, she did that, I can't believe she did that thing, you know, because they're quick, you know. I can't always know that, because I don't even know what I'm actually after. Like, I don't go, I really want them to do this.
Right.
I just wait, and then they'll do something. Inevitably, they always do something, and you're like, wow, they really did that. And then I'll grab it, but I don't always know what it looks like. Yeah, I don't shoot with, like, an idea in my head. I just go out there and see what happens, and I'll just shoot when something is interesting to me. And it's not, I can't always tell if that's going to be interesting in a picture. Right. Yeah, I guess.
And so it sounds like you're shooting on film, if you're.
No.
When you say when I get the photo back, what did you mean?
Oh, sorry. When I just look at it on the computer, because it's not the same when you look at it on the back of the camera. And I don't look on the back of the camera very often, because if I'm doing that, then I'm not seeing what they're doing next.
Right.
Yeah, and then the day goes on, so I don't really then go and put it straight on the computer. It's normally that night, or, you know, in a few days' time or whatever. So I feel like it's when I get it back.
No, it sounded like, reminded me of, like, sorry, getting that. No, it's all right.
I'd love to go back to shooting film, but that's a whole other thing. I'll have to wait for a whole other time, I think.
So, and do you only photograph your own kids, or do you do others as well?
I've got friends, and, you know, we'll do, it's pretty informal though. I've shot a couple of weddings here and there, but that's only if somebody's asked. But it's generally just my kids or whoever other kids happen to be around at the time.
And how do you feel about shooting weddings? Do you enjoy it? Be honest.
I shot my first wedding last summer, and the people approached me and said, will you shoot my wedding? And I said, why on earth would you want me to do that? Because there's nothing anywhere that would suggest that I would want to do such a thing, or that I would be any good at it. And they said, oh, well, we like your pictures. And I said, yeah, they're of children. It's a little different. But they were really insistent, so I gave it a go. Man, they're hard to shoot, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're hard. Yeah, they're really hard to shoot. There's a lot of work, and it's a lot of pressure, I guess. Yeah, they're really hard. But I was a little worried about what I was supposed to be doing and what people were expecting. But at the end of the day, I didn't know anything about shooting weddings, so I could only do what I knew how to do the way I knew how to do it. So I did it, and they seemed to be happy. So
you approached it the same way you would any other shoot? I mean, another like the style that you have. You just did the same thing, which is, I'm sure, why they chose you. So,
well, yeah, I guess, but I pretty much just took pictures of things that I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
And what did you do? Take details, and did you have like a? I'm just curious.
I don't even know that you were supposed to do. Well, maybe you're not. I don't know.
No,
but,
you don't have to do that.
And the rings, and no, I didn't do any of that. I was a little concerned afterwards that that was what they were wanting, but they never seemed to bring it up. So I didn't. I took a picture of the dress, but it was only because it was hanging in the bathroom, and I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, but yeah, no, I did kind of miss the whole details thing, which
it's
probably
not
wasn't
a thing. It's not something.
Well,
just thought when you said I photographed things I thought were interesting. I pictured you like, you know, walking around just shooting random things.
Yeah,
but
no,
I guess you were probably waiting for a certain moment to happen or something.
Yeah, I guess I didn't do so much of that because I was, there's just too much going on. I mean, it's easy with my kids because they'll sit and play with something for half an hour, but that doesn't seem to happen in a wedding. You know, getting ready and stuff, I guess I did a bit of that. Yeah, it was just I guess I shot the things that are important in a wedding,
yeah.
But I did a lot of, oh, that's interesting. I'll just take a picture of that. You know?
Was it a local wedding?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Just in my hometown.
Because you are right now somewhere in New Zealand. What's the name of the hometown?
I live in the Marlborough district, which is on the top of the east coast of the South Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and are you traveling a lot from there, or I guess when we were earlier on when we were trying to schedule something, you were out traveling for a few weeks, but was that
it's summer here, so I've got family, see, my family live in the North Island, so we try and get up there as much as possible, so we were up the North Island just traveling around with the kids. We do a bit of tripping around.
And what way do you, are you in like camping or are you driving?
No, just a car. No, just a car. We just go up in the car. I've got so much family up there. We just stay at various people's houses all over the place. The kids are pretty used to being carted around and living out of the car. They're pretty good at it.
So I'm so impressed. Four kids, and the youngest was 5 or 7?
She's 7.
Seven, yeah. Okay. And the oldest, 13.
Yeah.
And what's that like, having a teenager? Have you noticed, like, big difference in...
You see my head.
Okay, she's resting her head in her hands.
It's like a whole other thing that they tell you about, but you don't really know about until you're there. It's a different world. The kids are great, but where does their brain go? Like when they turn 13, I want to know where the frontal lobe goes. Like where does it go?
I don't know. I do know that I saw a documentary way back that kind of described how crazy the body is, like invaded with hormones, and how it's like such a huge shock to the system that it made me think, like, wow, it's really hard to be a teenager. And I think you don't know up from down because it's like so many things going on in your body that you can't see also on the outside.
It's crazy. I mean, I hate to think what's going on in his body because mine's going mental just watching it.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, yeah, they're still great kids, but very.
Is it hard to? Do you feel like a change in how you photograph him? I mean,
I just feel like
teenagers are hard to.
Yeah, it's quite interesting actually. I can see things changing quite a bit because a lot of things are changing in them. Just not, I mean, there's a physical side of it for a start, but also just how they see the world and how they act in the world. So they lived in a pretty like imaginary kind of world where they would just play. And the two older ones have lost that ability to just go outside and play, where the little ones will still go off and be kings and queens and spacemen. And, you know, that they're still so in the thick of that. And it's beautiful. But the big kids have lost that. And, I mean, they still go out and they'll do things, but they have a lot more purpose in what they do now. So, yeah, taking photos is quite different. I mean, we still go out on adventures and that still makes it easy, but it's going to be really interesting, actually. I'm excited. I'm excited to have the camera and to have that drive to really keep documenting it and just see what comes and see what how it changes in the photos as well. And I don't really know because we're just at the beginning of it, but yeah. I'm excited about it. And I can work more, a little more collaboratively with them, like with my daughter now. We've done a bit of work together, which is actually really exciting. Like if we're somewhere and she feels something or she sees a light or whatever it is, and we'll be like, well, should we do something here? Should we take a photo? And so that's obviously a whole different type of photo. But it's really interesting too to see what she can. And when we were up north, there's some beautiful places up north and big trees that grow out of rocks and things. And I was saying, I'll give you a tree and go up there and be a tree or be part of the tree. And so they did. And it was so interesting to see what they came up with. And
wow.
So, yeah, I don't know how it's all going to go, but it's just fun playing around with what they can come up with now.
I guess, yeah, if you think about it, I mean, you rarely see that kind of age group documented, even in like our own personal albums. I know I talked with a friend about this, about how like, yeah, there's like all these pictures of when you're like a kid, and then and then it's like from during those like awkward years, it's just like there's like a picture.
And
then,
yeah.
And then
I've got nothing. I've got absolutely no pictures of my teen years at all.
Yeah, I think it's just because we look so weird and act weird. Maybe. And you're just so awkward that it's just awkward to kind
maybe.
Of photograph it. I don't know. But I mean, it's good that you're
it's
kind
beautiful
of.
Beautiful too.
It's beautiful.
But it's beautiful. And I find it fascinating. Like I'm so fascinated. I'm lucky because they're at home with me all the time. So I get the luxury of really seeing them all day. But then having said that, because they're old enough now and the kids are, I mean, like I say, they've just biked down the road to their friends. So they're so independent. They're not actually at home all that much. And that might be some of why we don't have so many photos of ourselves at that age, because we weren't home as much, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, friends are super.
So there important. Is that. Yeah, there is that. But I just find it's beautiful and it's so fascinating seeing them change and seeing them grow up. So I'm going to have to make a real effort to.
Yeah.
To work that way, yeah, to keep taking pictures.
And have they ever, I mean, I guess they're so used to it, but have they ever, like, not wanted you to take their photo? Or has that ever been an issue?
No, I guess the only time that really comes up is when, especially the little ones are tired and grumpy, but, you know, when that comes up, they don't want to do anything. It's not a camera. They're like, they don't want to walk. They don't want to eat dinner. They don't want to have the picture taken. You know, they don't want anything. So I think it's specifically the camera. But I think that's just so used to having the camera there and, you know, having pictures taken of them. They don't really flinch. The little ones don't at all. And the big ones are just only – the only thing with them is that they're just becoming more aware of it, that it's there. But that's, it doesn't bother them. I still haven't had them say no to it
at all. What gave you the idea to do this, to live this way and to like be a photographer and this way?
Being a photographer thing happened by default. I'm a physiotherapist by trade, but that stopped when the kids stayed home.
Okay.
So yeah, so I think the photographer thing, I mean, I started taking photos when I was overseas, when I did a big 4-year trip overseas, and I was living in Scotland, so dark, cold winters, and I did a darkroom course. And that's how I fell in love with it. But then I sort of stopped taking photos when I came home, and I only really started again when we started keeping the kids home from school. And my theory was that we needed to be writing about what they were doing, and I can't write to save myself. So I started taking pictures, and that's kind of how it all came about.
So it started as like a documenting their everyday life kind of thing.
Yeah, my theory was that if any educational facility wanted to check up on what we were doing, then I would take photos and I'd put it on a blog, and then I could just show them that.
Yeah.
Because the idea of writing just made me shiver on the inside. So that was how it all started.
And what do your husband and the kids think of the photos that you take?
Yeah, I mean, they know I take them. And
do they see them? Do you show them everything?
Well, yeah, I make a real point of making albums of their pictures so that they've got them. Okay. But they don't look at them. I mean, they're so busy living in the moment. They're not really interested in what happened last week or last year or last month. They're like, well, that's nice, but what are we doing now, kind of thing, which is really cool. It's a really awesome thing.
Yeah, it is
so, great. Yeah, the books are there, but they don't I mean, I hope one day that they'll, I know one day they'll be really grateful that the photos are there, but they're not really that interested in them right now. And that's fine. I don't really want them to be. They don't need to.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not like you need their, I mean, validation, or you don't seem like that.
No, they know the photos are theirs and not mine. I make sure that they know that. So they're very much their pictures. And if anything ever happens to them, or they go online or anything like that, I always ask them. They know they're their pictures, but they don't care too much about them. Not right now, anyway.
And so you don't make books, I mean, like proper, in the, what do you call it? Like, do you make books out of them? Art books, that kind of thing?
Oh, like, I just have like their albums that are up on the shelf in a bookcase here, just okay. for them.
Because yeah. I can imagine you must get approached still to do, you know, like to teach or talk about your work and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, here and there, a little bit. But I haven't been approached, not about a book. So I'm happy with them just sitting on our bookshelf.
That's yeah, cool. I am too, but I was just, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that kind of photo and of my own children and kids. And when I saw your website, I was really struck by kind of how I loved the moodiness in it, and kind of felt, I mean, truly felt inspired to really do more of that with my own family. I mean, I do photograph them quite a bit, especially when we have free time. Less time in the busy, but I made me want to feel, I mean, I should really have my camera, like I teach to others, really on that bookshelf, like you said, to just have it available at any time.
Yeah, I think that's the key, because the more it's there, and this is what I found, the more it's there and the more you use it, the more you're then got a part of your mind looking at things like with that kind of, that could be a picture, or that would be something I'd want to remember, or that's really weird. Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a photo of that. Yeah, but the more that you do it, the more that you see things a little bit that way. I don't know. It's helped me so much. I see things so, I don't want to say more, but just differently now, having taken those pictures. I guess I just see it in a different way, see it more of a long-term way, like, this is worth remembering.
So I guess,
because I know I won't remember this, because I, you know, as a mother, and you'll know that, you have like a sieve for a brain, or you think you're going to remember things,
but you
don't, because your head's so full. So yeah, I guess partly it's even for me to remember that, but for me, I want to pass these stories on about these things that my kids have done, or what they used to spend their day doing. And I know now, because my mother died when I was younger, so I don't have those stories. I don't have her to access those stories of my childhood, and I don't have the pictures.
Right.
But I want my kids to have those stories, and if I don't happen to be around, then I want them to have so many pictures that the stories will be told through those, even if I'm not here to tell them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
That makes total sense. And what do you think is the most important story in the pictures that you have? What do you think they'll read from it when they see it?
I'm quite happy for them to read whatever they want through those pictures, but I think when I look at them, I hope it shows lots of things, actually. I hope it shows them that they were, I hope it shows them the place that they have been born into, and the land and the country and the environment. This is their anchor, and this is their place, and that they will always have this place, and this is where their roots are. I hope that it'll show them that they, who they are, and who they were, which will always be a part of who they are, no matter what stage of life they're in, and that they were blessed with the freedom, I guess, that they had, and that they can always access that, I guess. Yeah. I guess. But then there's also, like, I'm quite fascinated in, I mean, it's all awesome having childhood being, you know, all full of freedom and innocence and joy and all that sort of stuff. But I'm really fascinated with the other parts of childhood, which we all know exist, because we're all there, right? all that, the confusion and the anger and the frustration and the all the things that happen when you're little, when you only have so much say in your life. And you know, there's that part, and they're very real as well, and I've got a bit of an interest in that. I don't know, maybe that's why some pictures are so dark, but you know, that they get the whole story of their childhood, that it isn't all the, you know, the summer holidays and all the rest of it. It's all the other parts too.
And what kind of parenting style would you say that you have with them? You're obviously very liberal in the sense that they are free to play and you're mindful that they're going to, you know, be in the moment and use it. But are you very like lenient or strict, or what would you say is your...
I don't know. I think my husband and I have a nice balance. I think we have, I don't know. I think it, I don't know. I don't know how to box that one up. Sorry. I guess it's a little bit of both. I mean, they don't have complete free reign. They have rules, and, you know, they have values and things that we adhere to a little bit.
I mean, if they swear, do you clean their mouths out with soap?
They, it's really a little unfair to ask them to be clean when their parents talk like they do. I don't think so. I'm probably a little more liberal on that one than a lot of people. Yeah, because they hear me speak. But in saying that, you know, they're grounded. They know that they're not going to live in a house that where everything's a nice word. So,
okay. So, but yeah, okay. So, all right. But yeah. Already, you're like, so that's. I'm just curious, and sorry, if I'm asking too much, but. Like,
no, it's like
that's something we don't really do here in Sweden, for instance, ground kids. It's not like a concept, but I grew up in the States, and that's what did there. You were grounded if you did something.
Yeah, we don't have it here either. We don't do grounded. It's not a thing here.
Okay, so that's not a New Zealand thing, or it's not a thing at your house?
It's not a thing in New Zealand, I don't think. I mean, people, I guess, said on TV, but we don't have a TV, so our kids don't even know what that is. So as in the grounding thing, but yeah, well, grounding's not a thing. Yeah. I mean, they get disciplined. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Lord of the Flies, although sometimes there are some days where it looks very much like that around here, but generally it's, yeah, we have some standards that we expect them to, you know, adhere to.
And when...
I don't know. I've never really thought about a parenting style. There's a mix. I mean, I guess we're way more liberal. It's really hard, isn't it? Because then it comes down to a comparison, doesn't it?
Yeah, which yeah, I don't it all like. Is. It's all relative, but, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we are relatively in fact, we're probably very liberal compared to a lot of families I know. But then we also know a lot of families that are completely liberal with very little discipline at all. So we have more discipline than them. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do the kids compare, I mean, with other children, seeing as how their childhoods are quite, I mean, at least unique by my standards or by where we live?
Yeah. Well, we're really lucky that we've got quite a lot of friends who have some very similar values and ideas and philosophies behind not just education but just life in general. And it's great that the kids have those kids who, that they get each other, you know, they understand each other and they know how to live outside and live like our kids do. So I don't know how they see themselves. That would be a really interesting question to ask them. They would be the right people to ask that question to.
Yeah.
I might at some stage. Be interesting to hear. Yeah.
And because I imagine that especially the teenager there is, I think it's a natural part of being a teenager that you really start to look a lot at like,
What are other people doing?
Yeah, it's funny actually that you would say that because just the other day, little things have been coming up. I'm like, wow. So they don't just see themselves as the center of the universe anymore. All of a sudden they are actually, how do we look to other people? You know, that they're not bothered by it, but they're really starting to come out with that stuff. I think my son the other day, he said, he came up to me. Sorry, I've got children walking through.
Oh, that's okay.
He
said,
Mama, you're not like other mamas. I was like, oh, here we go. And
true,
I said, oh, yeah.
True.
But it was just interesting that he would even bring that up. It's the very first time. Whereas the 7-year-old and my 9-year-old, they don't care. I mean, I'm their mama, and that's all there is to it, bottom line. And that's it.
Yeah.
I look the way I look, I do what I do, and they're fine with that. But all of a sudden, yeah, you've got, he's like, yeah, I don't know any other mamas that mountain bike in the weekend. You know, they are out there, but he just doesn't know them. But the fact that he's differentiating that and then he's seeing that, yeah, it's really interesting, actually.
He's starting to look at himself and you all, his family, I think, through the eyes of like, yeah, what, you know, what are we, and what, you know, what do other people think, and how do we compare to others? And that's, I think that's probably why teenagers are so tired all the time. Just so much thinking. I mean, so much just analyzing and maybe even worrying about what people think and stuff, even if that's not, I don't know. I don't remember what it's like to be a teenager. I just know that it's kind of a haze. I mean, maybe for that reason.
Yeah, I'm convinced that something happens when you get to like your 20s, and a lot of that's erased. I swear it must be, because I don't remember
it's called
it.
Denial, I think.
Maybe it's what it is. Whatever, but it all seems like a haze to me too. But it's all coming back to me a little bit now, seeing these guys. It's so interesting.
It's so beautiful.
It's really cool. Yeah.
So what do you think, what do you think when Cole and Jakob approached you to speak at Way Up North, how did they get in touch with you, and how did you, I mean, it's a bunch of wedding photographers.
I don't actually know how they found out. but I do remember my response. Well, I do remember reading the email going, what?
Yeah.
Like, why, you know, I'm a middle-aged mother, way down at the bottom of the world here. My, you know, doing my thing, but you know why? And I don't think I have anything to say that would be of great value. But maybe I do. Yeah, maybe I do. But the interesting thing is that
don't underestimate yourself.
No, not at all. That was just my initial thought when the email came through. But the really interesting thing for me has been that my poor kids have had an absent mother for weeks and weeks while I've been writing this. And it's been such an interesting process, because I've learned a lot about myself, and I've learned a lot about, my photography, but photography in general, actually, just thinking about what is this that I do when I pick up a camera, and what is this thing, the camera? Like, why do people even do this? And why am I doing this? Why am I taking the photos? And like the bigger picture of this, like photography in the big world. And it's been such a hard but really interesting process. And there's stuff that I really want to share, I think, just of what I've learned from my journey, which is pretty much, I mean, it started when I started taking pictures of the kids, but it's been a pretty deep end learning curve since I started putting pictures on social media, which is about just between 2 or 3 years ago now. There's been a lot of things that have happened, and I've learnt a lot of things about it, but to actually sit down and write about it has made me think a lot more about photography in the big picture. It probably sounds waffly, but that's what, and it's been fascinating for me. So hopefully it'll be interesting to everyone else.
And what is your relationship to social media?
Well, I had a friend of mine who said, you should put your pictures on Facebook. And I said, what is Facebook? And it all started from there. That was about, between 2 or 3 years ago. And it came about because I did an online course, and there was a challenge put forward which is a very commonplace challenge, but it was new to me, taking a photo every day and how that would improve your photography. So I was all up for that. And having it on Facebook was a commitment to me to actually post one every day. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it started. That's how the social media thing for me started. And then I learned how amazing it was to be on Facebook from a community standpoint, because to live here where I do, where the nearest town is 25 minutes away, and I know there are a few photographers there, but I only know a couple, and other than that I didn't even know a single other photographer or anyone else who did what I did, who loved taking photos, you know. And then to discover this whole world of people who are so fascinated and excited about photography like me, I mean, that was just gold. It was just awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've learned since that Facebook has some slightly more negative tones to it, but But that community still holds. I've met so many amazing people through that and learned so much that I never would have learned if I didn't go near Facebook. So I'm just really grateful.
Oh, that's great. So that's kind of your workspace, your networking system of...
Yeah, brain at 3 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever been... I'm sure you have. Have people ever talked about your work compared with Selling Man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And get a bit of that.
Is that... That's not something you enjoy, obviously.
Oh, look, I mean, to be compared to Selling Man, it would be amazing. Her art, I think I learned about her maybe a couple of years ago now, and her art blows me away. I mean, it blows me away because it's beautiful, but it blows me away because it really, as it does with everyone, I'm sure, just moves me, and it's a massive inspiration, as so many other photographers are, but it's a huge inspiration to me because of the way her pictures made me feel, and that got me searching and seeking, because to be able to create something that can move someone like that, I mean, that's just incredible, right? As an artist.
But your work is doing the same exact thing. I mean, your work is...
Well, that's nice of you to say. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I saw a lot of similarities in exactly what you said now, which was not... I mean, okay, yes, you're both kind of documenting your families, but you're both also kind of showing something really... I don't know if intimate is the right word, without being... like going crossing, I don't know, it's full of integrity, and yet it's very vulnerable and beautiful. Mm. And kind of that niche or whatever you can call that. I don't know if my
wow,
vocabulary
that's
is good enough, but good I enough. Think it's very moving.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment for me that you would think that about my pictures. So that's... I don't know what to say. It's really nice. Thank you.
No, it's nice. I'm going to be studying your website a lot, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, yeah, her work is, and I have had it compared, but I think I always played around with it. I didn't, like, it's a huge compliment to be compared or spoken of with Sally Mann, but then you're also, well, I don't want to be a Sally Mann copy. I want to be my own, but I think, yeah, that's been a part of my learning. I think it's okay because everything that we do comes from somewhere. I mean, it's just us as humans. It all comes, all of our inspiration comes from somewhere, and it's okay to have some similarities to someone else. I'm not worried about that.
I mean, yeah, because I don't see it as a copy. I see it as a natural way that our brains work, that, okay, you know, this is what when I saw your work, it's very, very unique. On the contrary, very unique. And the only thing that I can say that I've seen that is anywhere near is Sally Mann, because of the fact that she's, you know, maybe the moodiness and the intimacy of it being her family. That's so, you know, it's like, it's how I think brains work in a way that you kind of like, yeah, okay, what's my frame of reference here?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think I've become, oh, excuse me. No, okay. I was going to take that away. I think I've become stronger in who I am as a photographer, I guess, through everything that has happened and everything that I've read and learned about, and I know now, like, more about what I do and why I do it, and so I'm totally, you know, like, I'm totally okay with whatever references people make, because I know where my work is coming from and I know what I'm doing, and I'm totally okay with, yeah, whatever comparisons, yeah, are made. I guess I've just come through that a little bit, because,
well, don't see it, yeah, as a compare, but maybe like a way to kind of, you know, trying to, it's just a way of kind of latching onto things that you know,
yeah,
to cool. Understand something new, I think.
It's a huge compliment. Like, it really is a huge compliment, because she's a phenomenal artist that moves people. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, she's pretty cool. But you are pretty cool yourself. And I think that everyone at Way Up North will be lucky to hear even whatever you bring to the table. I mean, let's be honest. Right. Let's be honest. You're doing something really unique, and I think that's really inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to let you go help the kids over there running in the background. But
yeah. They're coming with me to Italy. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. All four of them.
Yeah, all four of them. That's me great. And them.
Just all of you. You are a brave woman, and that's great. Are you gonna hang around then for a few days to do some?
Yeah. Well, it's a really long way to go from here, so it's I've got to make my way up to Auckland, which for us takes 2 days because we have to travel over water and then drive all the way up, and then it's a 17-hour flight to Dubai, and then 4 hours in the airport, and then another 7-hour flight to Italy. So it's like a really long time to get there. So I kind of want to hang around for a little bit to make.
You don't want to go for just a weekend.
Not really. Yeah, so it's quite the funny story that they've ended up coming with me, but it sort of came down to the fact that there really wasn't any choice, so I photographed a couple more weddings this summer, and there they are, they're coming with me. So these are my kids who have barely been to a city. I think they've been to Auckland maybe twice or once that they actually know of in their life. And never been on a plane, never been out of the country, so.
And they're going to be in this huge city with, really, like, scooters, like, zipping by. You better hold on tight so they don't get, get hit by a car.
It's going to be such an interesting adventure for all of us, actually, so. Oh, so, yeah, goodness. There we go. They're actually going to come and hear me speak on the first morning. So I'm kind of excited about that because they've been a really big part of this process because they've seen me absent with papers all over the ground and books out and late nights, and, you know, they've been a big part of it. So it would be really neat for them to see what it's all about.
And maybe understand that, wow, they're part of something bigger than what they probably even realize.
Yeah, I mean, this story only exists because of them anyway. Yeah. So that's, it's really cool that they can be a part of it.
That's incredible. Well, I hope you guys have a great trip. And listen, good luck, because doing that trip with those four kids is not going to be easy. But I think I'm going to send you two leashes. The two older ones don't need it, but maybe just to hold into those little ones. I don't want to. They're crazy drivers down there.
I have heard that. So it will be quite the culture shock and quite the experience. But that's good. They'll be stronger for it, my little country bumpkins. So.
Yeah, they will. Oh, my God. Yeah. I would love to be like a little birdie flying around seeing you guys.
Yeah. Do you know, I don't know who could be more worried about them or Rome. They're pretty fun too. We'll see.
The ancient ruins that have.
Yeah,
they'll be climbing those things like the trees back home in New Zealand.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
Well, good luck, Nikki. It was so good talking to you. And
it was really cool talking to you. Thank you.
I'm glad we got to make this work. Sorry about that time. That's the wonky time there, but
it
worked
out
in the end.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. It was really cool chatting to you.
Nice seeing you too. All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.